Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Traitorous state of Indiana, where Obama's ideals are not espoused, comes the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show as a means to tell all you liberals out there that you are wrong and we are right. My name is Kathy Henners, and you're listening to Hour One of the show, where we do what we do best, tell you what the government is doing to this great nation with Obama and his minions. We're showing you ways to stop them by following the true law of the land, the Constitution. And now, heard through ConservativeNationMedia.com, here is your host from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, Robert Garding.
So good afternoon, folks, and welcome to this edition of the show. The first thing I want to ask is, should America do this? The African nation of Angola has officially become the first country in the world to ban Islam, which I think is a wonderful thing. The nation's president recently declared that the move was, quote, the final end of Islamic influence in the country, unquote. President Jose Eduardo also ordered that any mosques in the country be demolished. Now, this is going to be an interesting thing to see happen because you know how they've the Islamic faith or unfaith, as I call it, has been building mosques all over, and they're building them all over the place here in the United States also. But the president of Angola decided that all the mosques in that country be demolished. According to Eduardo, Islam runs quote, contrary to the customs of Angola culture, unquote. The predominant religion in Angola is Christianity, but there are currently around 90,000 Muslims living in the country. Many are either immigrants from West Africa or refugees from the Middle East. Eduardo's decision was in opposition to many Middle Eastern countries that are currently persecuting Christians. Of course, it was. In fact, in 2012, a Saudi Muslim leader issued an order to destroy all Christian churches on the Arabian Peninsula. Now, for the next question, do you think that the leaders of Islam are going to take this news gently? Do you think that this is going to make any of them mad? I do. I think that we may have a jihad against Angola waged on this one. I think there are going to be repercussions to this one. Maybe not now, but it's definitely going to happen. And we need to watch this carefully. You're listening to this episode of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. We are glad that you are here on this June the 7th, one day after the 70th anniversary of D-Day. In 2014 here. We are glad that you are here today and know that you will be hearing some good stuff to help save America. Welcome to the show on this wonderful day. I think that was kind of an appropriate bumper song. It's called Under the Gun by Poco. The hometown of U.S. Sergeant Bo Bergdahl has canceled a rally planned for later this month, celebrating his release from 5 years of Taliban captivity, probably because the guy is looking pretty much like a deserter and responsible for multiple deaths of servicemen trying to get him back. From Reuters, comes this one. Heather Dawson, the city administrator of Haley, Idaho, said town's officials called off the June 28th event at the request of organizers because the town, quote, will be unable to safely manage the number of people expected, unquote. The decision came as the small mountain community was coming under mounting pressure to cancel the rally amid rising anger over claims by some of Bergdahl's former Army comrades that he had deliberately abandoned his post in Afghanistan. Yeah, that, and I doubt that he's that safe in public anymore. Sergeant Bo Bergdahl is coming home. He's been released by the Taliban, which has been holding him captive since 2009 when he went looking for them in exchange for five Taliban prisoners who are senior members of the Taliban. And even though Bo is having his homecoming, every American's relief should be tempered by the risk that Obama took to secure his freedom. I think the only risk involved there was that Obama may be screwing himself when it comes to his political future, but the fact is trading five hardened terrorists from Guantanamo Bay in exchange for Bergdahl's release is just too steep of a price, and now some members of Congress are demanding action answers. Representative Adam Kinzinger, who served in Iraq and Afghanistan, expressed his shock on the NBC's Meet the Press when he said, quote, "You're now going to have five people potentially on the ground targeting American troops, and Afghan people. This whole exchange is shocking to me, and I'm very disappointed," unquote. Well, Senator James Inhofe, the ranking Republican member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, said, quote, "Trading five senior Taliban leaders from detention in Guantanamo Bay for Bergdahl's release may have consequences for the rest of our forces and all Americans." Yeah, that's just exactly what I said a few minutes ago. Representative Mike Rogers, the chairman of the House Select Committee on Intelligence, called the move a, quote, "fundamental shift in U.S. policy," unquote, that, quote, "will threaten the lives of American soldiers for years to come," unquote, now that Obama has shown that he'll empty Guantanamo of al-Qaeda leaders to achieve one small victory such as this deserter's release. According to Representative Buck McKeon, chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, the move has given Taliban terrorists a, quote, "strong incentive to capture Americans," unquote, especially if they know they can get high-level people in return. Indeed, all five released prisoners were major terrorists, according to the Pentagon documents released by WikiLeaks. Here are some of the highlights. Mohammed Fazal, was the Taliban's deputy minister. Abdul Haq Wasik was the Taliban's deputy minister of intelligence. Karula Karakwa was a heroin trafficker and Taliban governor at the Herat province in Afghanistan. Nurullah Nuri was personally recruited by Osama bin Laden to participate in terrorist campaigns. Mohammed Nabi Omari was a Taliban official in the Khost province in Afghanistan. But that's not all. You see, there's still the question of whether Bergdahl was captured or simply deserted, and that's a great given the circumstances of his release. Transcripts of radio intercepts released by WikiLeaks suggested that Bergdahl was captured whilst using a temporary latrine. As one Taliban fighter said, quote, "We were attacking the post where he was sitting. He had no gun with him. Can you guys make a video of him and announce it all over Afghanistan that we have one of the Americans?" Unquote. But the Rolling Stone magazine published emails that Bergdahl sent to his parents, and they paint a different picture. The emails show Bergdahl's state of mind around the time of his capture, and it's apparent that he was disillusioned by America's mission in Afghanistan. In fact, Bergdahl had completely lost faith in the mission, was considering desertion before his capture. He wrote to his parents that he was ashamed to even be an American. Bergdahl mailed home boxes containing his uniform and books. He also wrote, "The future is too good to waste on lies." and life is way too short to care for the damnation of others as well as to spend it helping fools with their ideas that are wrong. So there's a chance that Obama released 5 dangerous terrorists in exchange for a terrorist sympathizer who wasn't a prisoner of war at all, but rather an army deserter all along. Now, that is what the article said, but I can tell you he is both a terrorist sympathizer and an army deserter. Obama did nothing that not only was illegal, but was wrong, too. Time for impeachment, I think, though I am afraid he probably never will be impeached. Though I do think there has been a president that deserves it more than Obama does. This whole idea that Obama can sit and do anything he damn well pleases to this nation or for her enemies and not have anything happen to him is ridiculous to the nth degree, folks. He is such an idiot. Well, I don't really want to use that word, even though he is. He is a traitor. He is definitely not the president of the United States, even though he's in the White House. He is more of a Taliban sympathizer and Taliban helper than the president of the United States. And he constantly sits back and looks like he's doing such a great job here and everybody loves him and he's such a good man. No, he's not. He is the worst president this country has ever had. And that's just the way I feel about it. And the more he does to this country, the more I feel that way. We've been telling you that conservativenationmedia.com is making some changes. And they started on May 6th. That's when Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance moved to Tuesday. Tennessee's issues are spreading out all over America, and Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Tuesday, so make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council, Inside Tennessee, on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. A desperate White House now has sunk to a new low, accusing Republicans of criticizing the Burke doll trade because, you know, they hate the president. Politico says, this is from Politico, President Barack Obama's Rose Garden appearance Saturday afternoon with Sergeant Bo Bergdahl's parents was an attempt to humanize the prisoner swap, which was not a prisoner swap, people, to deflect potential criticism of letting 5 Taliban leaders out of Guantanamo Bay, White House aides say. It didn't work. White House aides were aware Sergeant Bo Bergdahl had been tagged a deserter and that they would be grilled over not keeping Congress in the loop. But they figured people would be most outraged over the national security implications. Actually, I haven't heard too many of those, except that most of everything I've heard is that Bergdahl was a deserter, and he's been accused of that by his comrades in arms. And to me, that is a pretty damning thing to have said about you. But the White House has been surprised by how much attention has remained on the questions about Bergdahl, from the circumstances of his disappearance to the wild beard his father grew while he was being held that even led to Bergdahl's hometown canceling of a celebration. All this, Obama aides say, is in their minds a proxy for the hatred towards the president. No, I don't hate Obama. I just hate his policies. I hate everything he's doing to this country. He's an idiot, but I don't hate him. The new PR plan. Frame the criticism as another example of Republicans complaining about something just because Obama was the one to do it. White House aides and other liberal outlets are highlighting what they see as Republican hypocrisies, citing past quotes from GOP lawmakers calling for Bergdahl's freedom. Republicans have been saying for years that the United States should do everything possible to get Bergdahl back, and Now many are leading the outrage over the deal Obama made. Representatives Lee Kerry, Republican of Nebraska, and Mark Almaday, Republican of Nevada, and the new Iowa GOP Senator nominee, Joni Ernst, are among those who started out tweeting out praise about Bergdahl's release, and then after the political tide turned, deleted those tweets. Senator John McCain, who is nobody's Republican, in February even endorsed the idea of a five-prisoner swap, depending on the details. Now he says that he knows the terms of the deal present a grave risk. Quote, I'm for prisoner exchanges, but only if the deal is right, unquote, which means releasing only those who aren't going to re-enter the battlefield, McCain said Wednesday. These are hardcore prisoners that were judged to be a risk to national security, unquote. Obama aides say they're not worried about the prospect of weeks of segments on Fox News or hearings by Republican House that it's spent 4 years investigating and rebuffing the White House on issues like Solyndra and Fast and Furious. Well, I have to say that the people are worried. These five will be back on the battlefield against Americans soon, and I can bet that Bergdahl will be rooting for them all the way, as a traitor usually does. We will be right back after these messages.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Hey, everybody. Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You are listening to ConservativeNationMedia.com and the new Wise Conservatism radio show, and I'm Robert Garding. Our call-in number is 718-305-7176. Obama likes to compare himself to other presidents, so in light of the exchange of five Taliban generals for a deserter, Mark Levin decided to look back at a couple of war presidents to see how they handled deserters. This from the Mark Levin Show. Just what, and I forgot to download this thing, but he talked about how we've never had a president like this, never, who's such a who's had such disregard for what is the heart and soul of this country. He talked about how George Washington was big on flogging deserters. Some he wanted to flog until they were pretty much dead, I think. Lincoln did not deserters, and these were two that Obama said that he was like. No, he's not. Obama would rather give to the enemy back members of their high-ranking terrorists for the exchange of a person who is nothing more than a traitor to the United States. So essentially, the Taliban got a hell of a deal on this. They got five of their top-ranking terrorists back so they can go back to the battlefield and start killing Americans again. And all we got was a traitor. All we got was a man who had deserted, and his troops that he fought with said that he would actually left to go looking for the Taliban. That doesn't sound like someone that is a good trade. Sure wasn't for us. It was a hell of a trade for the Taliban. They got back five of their senior members. They got back five people that they know will go back onto the battlefield to kill, maim, or wound Americans. So where is that a good deal for us? It wasn't. And Obama knows this. Obama knows all of this. He's a, I have trouble finding words for him anymore. He does everything he can to destroy this nation while he lies to the people and tells us all that he is doing everything he can to help America. No, he's not. And it's time people started realizing this. We should have never elected him for president for the first term, and we sure as hell should never have elected him for the second term. He has destroyed, single-handedly destroyed factions of this country that have been in place since the beginning. And he's not happy with that. He wants to destroy even more. People, we have to start figuring out what the heck is going on. This one started. Obama loves to compare himself to other presidents, Lincoln, Reagan, etc., but he is nothing like them. Both of those men believed in God and believed in the greatness of America. Obama believes in neither. And now more and more calls for impeachment are coming out. Alan West being the one of the latest in an article I found from westernjournalism.com is this. Calls for impeachment hearings against Barack Obama have been common throughout his presidency, which has been plagued by numerous scandals and allegations of increasingly brazen cover-ups. The latest controversy surrounding the release of Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl was given those proponents have given those proponents even more ammunition to use against Obama. He doesn't seem to care. He's not going to be impeached, even though he should have been and should be. It has also brought new voices in favor of impeachment to the debate. Among those are former U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, who explained Tuesday why he feels the circumstances surrounding Bergdahl's release from the Taliban custody likely warrants impeachment. He listed a number of factors that helped him reach his opinion. First, he explained that Obama unilaterally declared unconstitutional a measure he himself signed into law requiring that he give 30 days notice to Congress before releasing Guantanamo Bay prisoners. The law there. On a law that he himself signed into law. Once again, Obama used selective discretion as to what law he feels he must adhere to, and in this case, it has severe ramifications for our national security. West wrote, The White House negotiated with the Taliban, he continued, which is a, quote, non-state, non-uniform terrorist organization, unquote. Furthermore, when choosing which five terrorists he would allow to be exchanged for Bergdahl, West noted he picked a quintet of the most dangerous terrorists in the facility. Quote, here are some, there are some 141 detainees at Gitmo, he wrote. The five released were senior Taliban officials, basically members of Mullah Omar's inner circle. If we wanted to release detainees in exchange for Bergdahl, there were many others to choose from. Why these? The recidivism rate among released terrorists has doubled, he wrote, and even administration sources to and including Obama admit these five released prisoners pose a real threat to American safety. In exchange for setting such dangerous individuals free, West concluded that America received in return a deserter by his own self-proclamation harbors anti-American sentiments. While Obama claims that no American should be left behind, West points out the apparent hypocrisy of that statement, wondering if he has forgotten about Benghazi and Marine Sergeant Tamarisi in Mexico, in that Mexican prison. West concludes by declaring Obama's unilateral negotiations with terrorists and ensuing release of their key leadership without consult, mandated by law with U.S. Congress, represents high crimes and misdemeanors and impeachable offense. He went on to call on congressional leaders to draft articles of impeachment, as no one is above the law in America. And West is right here. No one should be above the law here in America. Although it seems like we've got several people in our government that are, especially Barack Obama. He seems to be able to do whatever he darn well pleases, anytime he darn well pleases, and to heck with what the Constitution says he can do, and to heck with what the laws say he can do. He's going to do it if he wants to. Doesn't matter. He doesn't care. This nation is in horrible trouble because we have elected a president who does not care for the foundation of law that this country was formed on. He doesn't care that this nation being a Christian nation, and if you don't believe this, folks, especially, and I'm talking especially to the atheists out here, if you don't believe this country was built on Christian fundamentals, go back and read the founding document. God is in the works and inside those things everywhere. They called on God to help bring this nation to fruition and make it so that it would be a great nation. Called on God all over the place. This nation is a Christian nation, and I don't care what atheists have to say about it. If they think I am trampling on their rights, well, they're trampling on mine for saying I can't say certain things because my Constitution says I can worship my God. And the only people around right now that are saying I can't are members of of our government who are taking Christianity out of our lives because it offends a few, and the atheists. I don't like this one little bit. But we can, until people start waking up and realizing just what is going on in this nation and the things we have to do to stop what is going on, it's going to continue. And there is nothing we can do about it until these people wake up and realize they're destroying this country by continuing on the way they are. Obama needs to be impeached. He won't be, but he needs to be. He is the worst president by far that this country has ever seen. We will be right back. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself and your family in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Sections and the scope may vary. At conservativenationmedia.com, then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad that you did.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, pcsforautomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school. If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com.
You are listening to conservativenationmedia.com with the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, and I'm Robert Garding, your host. Our call in 718-305-7176 if you want to join in the fun. Yesterday was the 70th anniversary of D-Day, and President Ronald Reagan, on June 6th of 1984, commemorating the men who fought on the beaches of Normandy 70 years ago today, said this. He said, "We in America have learned bitter lessons from two world wars. It is better to be here, ready to protect the peace, than take a blind shelter across the sea, rushing to respond only after freedom is lost. We've learned that isolationism never was and never will be an acceptable response to tyrannical governments with an expansionist intent." Does this kind of sound familiar as to what's going on today, folks? He said this in 1984, and we're still not learning from all of this. This is sad. But he goes on to say, "But we try to always be prepared for peace, prepare to deter aggression, prepare to negotiate for the reduction of arms, and yes, prepare to reach out again in the spirit of reconciliation. In truth, there is no reconciliation. We would welcome more than a reconciliation with the Soviet Union so together we could lessen the risks of war now and forever." Now we have to remember this was Ronald Reagan on June 6, 1984. It's fitting to remember here the great losses also suffered by the Russian people during World War II. 20 million people perished, a terrible price that testifies to all the world the necessities of ending war. I tell you from my heart that we in the United States do not want war. We want to wipe from the face of the earth the terrible weapons that man now has in his hands. And I'll tell you, we're ready to seize that beachhead. We're bound today by what bound us together 40 years ago, now 70, the same loyalties, traditions, and beliefs. We're bound by reality. The strength of America's allies is vital to the United States, and the American security guarantee is essential to the continued freedom of Europe's democracies. We are here with you then. We were here with you then, and we're here with you now. Your hopes are our hopes, and your destiny is our destiny. Here in this place where the West held together, let us make a vow to our dead. Let us show them by our actions that we understand what they died for. Let our actions say to them the words for which Matthew Ridgway listened. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Strengthened by their courage, heartened by their value, and borne by their memory, let us continue to stand for the ideals that they lived and died for. Thank you very much, and God bless you. That was part of Ronald Reagan's speech on June 6th of 1984, when he commemorated the men who fought on the beaches of Normandy, then 40 years ago, now 70 years ago. Do we hear a president now that we have that will say anything like that? No, we don't. Historian Douglas Brinkley wrote in his book, President Reagan, D-Day and the U.S. Army 2nd Ranger Battalion, quote, with Reagan as president, the time had come for the World War II generation to speak out. By 1984, the stars were aligned for thousands of these stoic war heroes to finally offer eyewitness testimonials for posterity's sake. It was, in essence, a generational reckoning, unquote. The speech that Reagan delivered that day, written by Peggy Noonan, rivals some of the greatest patriotic orations in American history, such as Daniel Webster's Plymouth Oration and Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural address. It was one of the most profound tributes to the generation that won World War II, and more than that, affirmed that the United States would continue to be a force for good in a world of darkness. Still sounds like he was talking about today. But sadly, today, America is being a world of darkness with no thought about trying to be good, although the people finally are waking up about that. But now, folks, it seems that darkness has returned wholesale and complete, as whole segments of this nation's people voted into office a sort of antichrist, and we did that not just once, but twice, though a good portion of the people that voted for him are now regretting it. We are still under the yoke of socialism that Reagan was speaking about that day in 1984. And like I said before, I will undoubtedly say again, till we do it, the time is now to stop this incessant trend towards socialism and communism and Islamism to our country, and know that our Constitution is not compatible with any of those things, and that's why Obama is working overtime to get rid of it. The time has come to stop him has come. Time to rise up and stop him is here. We have to realize this, folks, because our president is actively working to destroy our nation. Do you want to live in a country that's like communist Russia or communist China? I know I don't. I love this country. I want this country to continue. I want this country to continue to be the shining beacon on the hill that Reagan spoke about so glowingly, that no president or no representative we have in Washington, D.C., unless they're conservative ones, are even speaking like anymore. We don't hear Republican politicians or Democrat politicians talking about how great America is anymore, unless they find out that what they're saying is hurting their chances to be reelected, then they'll change for a little while until they get reelected, because people's memories are short and they can't remember things like that after they've had the politician change to the center for a while. But we need to start realizing that if we don't start fighting for this country will not be here for our children. The Democrats are always saying that they're trying to save this country for our children. Well, it's sad that so many people will believe this, when in fact the Democrats are trying to destroy it, so there will be no country when our children become adults. And our children will have to figure out a new way to live, because America won't exist as a free nation anymore. I hope you're with me on that. Our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA, as it is in most of ours, I think. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hangar flying on Radio Free America, the real Radio Free America, with Duke Brooks, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. U.S. Senator Thad Cochran of Mississippi needs to be beat, but he knows he's in trouble. Here's what Thad Cochran is doing now. U.S. Senator Thad Cochran, Republican of Mississippi, and his allies are planning to aggressively court Democrats to defeat conservative Chris McDaniel, Republican of Mississippi, in the June 24th primary runoff election for U.S. Senate. According to the Politico, Cochran's strategy will involve reaching out to casual voters, including independents and Democrats, to swell the electorate, with Mississippians who may not have participated in this week's first round of voting. Cochran knows that if he lets the Republicans choose their party's nominee, he will lose. So he's going to continue to do what he started in the primary and try to get Democrats to hijack the Republican election. It's disgraceful, but not surprising. Liberal Republicans often abandon their party when they're going to lose in a primary. Remember when Arlen Specter became a Democrat when Pat Toomey was to defeat him in Pennsylvania? Or when Charlie Crist left the party when Marco Rubio was going to defeat him in Florida? Or when Lisa Murkowski ran as a write-in candidate after she lost the primary in Alaska? Establishment Republicans are willing to lock arms with Democrats because they don't believe in our principles. Their ideology is power, just like the Democrats. These politicians are only Republicans because they see the party as a way to get elected, not because they want to enact conservative policies. We have seen a lot of this lately. John Boehner wanting to reach across the aisle with the Democrats and Obama to keep Obamacare going. John McCain wanting to reach across the aisle in the spirit of friendship, even though the Democrats don't want to be friends with us. It seems they will never learn once they are elected, until they are elected out of office. Heck, maybe not even then. We will be right back.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Hey, Billy.
Yeah?
Do you want to go to the state fair?
Yeah.
Do you want to ride the roller coaster?
Yeah.
The big one?
Yeah.
The one with the reverse flip?
Yeah!
Well, you can't. You see, Billy, when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have done with it, including going to the state fair.
Oh, man.
Cheer up. This year, your parents will make it right. They're going to visit EnergySavers.gov, where they'll get tips on how to save energy and money.
Then they'll add extra insulation and get a few of those Energy Star appliances. They could save hundreds of dollars a year. And you know what, Billy?
What?
They'll take you to the state fair next year.
But I want to go this year.
I know you do, Billy. I know you do. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Adopting a new pet is a rewarding experience. And shelter pets make super pets. Your new best friend will steal your heart, bring you happiness, and enrich your life for years to come. You can make a difference in the life of an animal. Adopt and bring home a shelter pet today. To find out more, visit theshelterpetproject.org. This message has been brought to you by the Humane Society of the United States, Maddie's Fund, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Michael Behrman, inviting you to join me every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, on the Michael Behrman Show. Right here on conservativenationmedia.com.
Angry about the federal government sending from Texas to Arizona immigrants who are in the country illegally, Arizona officials say they are rushing federal supplies to a makeshift holding center in the southern part of the state that's housing hundreds of migrant children and is running low on the basics. Governor Jan Brewer's spokesman, Andrew Wilder, said Friday that conditions at the holding center are so dire that federal officials have asked the state's to immediately ship the medical supplies to the center in Nogales. A Homeland Security Department official told the official Associated Press, that children are sleeping on plastic cots, but about 2,000 mattresses have been ordered, and portable toilets and showers have been brought to the holding center, a warehouse that has not been used for detention in years. The official, who spoke on the condition of anonymity, because there was no authorization to discuss the matter publicly, said the Nogales Holding Center opened for children because the Department of Health and Human Services had nowhere to turn. They became so overwhelmed and haven't kept up with planning, the official said. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement has said that immigrants were mostly families from Central America fleeing extreme poverty and violence. Wilder said that a total of 432 unaccompanied minors detained in Texas arrived in Nogales on Friday, with 367 more expected both Saturday and Sunday. Well, wow, that means that we're going to have a whole bunch more illegals coming into this country, and they're going to be going to our schools on our dime, and we're going to have to pay for them because nobody else is going to. Our government won't send them back because, oh my God, that would be inhumane. But they won't go down to Mexico and get our Marine who's down there in prison and get him out. It seems like our government has the wrong things in mind here. We have churches and we have all kinds of rent things like Red Cross and stuff like that that will help these kids in all of this, but they do need to go down to Mexico and get that Marine out of prison. It seems like our government does not care what is going on. They don't want to care what's going on. And they think that we're all buffoons for wanting to care what's going on. I really have troubles understanding why they're even in Washington, D.C. in the first place. If they're not going to do what the people want, if they're not going to do what they are sent there to do, why are they there? It's just like this article that I read you a few minutes ago from about U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, who thinks that impeachment is the way to go with Obama. Impeachment has been the way to go for a long time for Obama. Heck, if George W. Bush had gotten away with even one of the things that Obama has gotten away with, he would have been impeached right on the spot, and the Democrats would have been the very first ones in line there. Republicans would have been there too. But when it comes to impeaching President Obama, that ain't going to happen. Democrats don't want that to happen because they don't think he's done anything wrong. And the Republicans are so spineless, they ain't going to go after that, with the exception of a few. But those few are not going to be able to do anything about it. Nothing's going to happen. Won't happen. Because they're spineless wimps. They're afraid of a little bit of confrontation. They're afraid the Democrats will not like them. They need to realize the Democrats don't like them. Never have, never will. So why try to get them to like us? There's no reason to. They don't like us anyway. They never will. But this whole thing about what Alan West has talked about the things that Obama has done wrong here. Obama made a law not long ago that essentially says that no one can release anybody from Guantanamo Bay without giving a 30-day notice to Congress about it. Obama's the one who came up with that one. Obama's the one who signed that into law. Yet now he's declaring it unconstitutional, even though he's the one who came up with it. He's the one who said it, because now it's going against what he wants to do. Top of that, the White House negotiated with the Taliban. America never has done things like that before, just like American presidents have never bowed to royalty before. Obama does. And then choosing the five terrorists that he did, which were probably the most dangerous terrorists in the whole facility, he traded those off, and I will almost wager you that at least one of them is back on the battlefield now, fighting against Americans, fighting against our allies. You see, Obama don't care. He wants things to happen the way they are. He wants America to get trounced. He wants America to get beat. He wants to take America down a few notches at least. Obama is not our friend. Obama is not our president. He is a traitor and a liar and somebody who is a criminal because he is breaking laws right and left, and nobody's holding him accountable for it. Oh, sure, there are a few out there. Alan West. But what about the John McCains out there? What about the Lindsey Grahams out there? They don't care. They think Obama's doing a bang-up job. He's going to keep this country together no matter what. No, he's tearing it apart. every way he can. He doesn't want to help this nation in any way, shape, or form. He doesn't want to keep this country together in any way, shape, or form. He doesn't want to keep the American people safe. And the sooner that we realize this, the better that this country is going to be, because we're going to finally be able to stand up and fight back against the tyranny that is hitting us from every angle out of Washington, D.C., originating from the top. America is the greatest country this world has ever seen. America has done things no other country could ever do. Yet, according to Obama, we're arrogant. According to Bergman, we're a country that deserves nothing but shame. According to Harry Reid, country doesn't deserve to exist. Even though Obama and Harry Reid and all these others that don't like America are rich beyond their wildest dreams because of this country. Most of these people, I think, should lose their jobs in the government as soon as possible. And pay, because they haven't been doing their jobs. I know if I went to my job and didn't do my job, I wouldn't get paid. I wouldn't hold my job very long either. I'd get fired, and there would be no compensation pay for me so that I could take care of business until I found another job. Oh, no. But these people, Obama, heck, he's going to be rich beyond his wildest dreams for the rest of his life, even if he gets impeached right now. He's going to be paid for the rest of his life because he was president. We have to start looking at who we're electing. Because I'm beginning to think that the only thing Obama was looking at here is that he knew he couldn't do the job. He knew he couldn't do the job. But he knew that if he got the job as president, he'd have an income for the rest of his life, whether he worked or not. That's the only part of the Constitution that he likes. Tearing down the Constitution the way he has been, those amendments are going to fall like dominoes. And when they do, there goes his pay. You better watch what he's looking out for or what he's wanting. Because it ain't going to work if he continues. Alan West, he went on to call on congressional leaders to draft articles of impeachment, as no one is above the law in America. God bless Alan West on that one. At least somebody has the guts to do what they need to do. We will be right back with the second hour of the New Weiss Conservatism Radio Show here on conservativenationmedia.com. Stay tuned, and we will be right back with more Weiss Conservatism.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org. If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Well, that kind of sucks. I hit the wrong dang thing.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with the hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky.
Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Now, here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Wow, check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
From West Central Indiana, one of the few states that runs a budget in the black, comes the New Wise Conservatism radio show. Hi, I'm Kathy Henners of Daily Roll Call to let you know that traditional Americans are still considered traitors in the Obama nation, and we're proud of our constitutional conservatism. Obama can't touch this. You're listening to Hour 2 of the show, and we're being broadcast to you through conservativenationmedia.com. And now, the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, your host, Robert Garding.
Welcome back to the show. Global warming, climate change, man-made destruction, the things the liberals call natural climate change, the things that liberals call global warming is nothing but natural climate change. But when you listen to what they attribute to global warming, you will laugh out loud. DailySurge.com is 10 things that the liberals attribute to be blamed on global warming. And this some of this stuff is amazingly stupid. The problems that arise from having a mouth is that sometimes they open. Even worse, when the owner doesn't know how to keep it shut. But when it comes to liberal Democrats, it has become an epidemic, and they cannot contain themselves, especially when it comes to the financially driven fear fest known as climate change, because, you know, we're all going to die. This is something you need to hear, folks, and we have, and, you know, according to the Democrats, we have it all wrong, according to them. Welcome to the second hour of the New Wise Conservatism radio show. Here in the 24th of May, or, wow, 24th of May, wow, that was a long time ago, the 7th of June, day after the 70th anniversary of D-Day. Now for that insane list of things that global warming causes. And I think I was thinking of this list when I said that date. I guess I can be excused on that one after you hear some of these things. Now, there are 10 reasons here that the liberals are saying are caused by global warming. And the first one starts out with global warming causes rape. The article goes on to say, hide your kids, hide your wives, because global warming be raping everyone up in here. Back in February, the brilliant minds of Mother Jones, published an article claiming that global warming will cause an increase of 180,000 rapes by the year 2099. The good news is that if you are hearing this, you won't be around for the neighborhood rape parties. But the bad news is, unfortunately, that people actually believe this stuff. Global warming is caused by the Koch brothers. According to Senator Harry Reid, the billionaire capitalist who literally wrote the book on free market enterprise, are to blame for climate change. No joke. The Senate Majority Leader recently took to the Senate floor to continue his obsession with the libertarian dynamic duo, stating that they're, quote, one of the main causes of climate change. Quote, no wonder I think he's senile. He needs to be out of that job post-haste. Number three, global warming causes rising beer costs. Oh, no. In 2008, the Associated Press claimed that due to climate change, the production of malting barley will decline over the next 30 years, making the price of beer rise. I don't know what to say. Just in case this happens, there's a backup plan for you to catch a buzz without needing malt barley. Number four, global warming makes you cheat. According to a survey by Victoria Millen, a dating site for couples to cheat on their significant other, your infidelities and lack of self-control may be a side effect of the hot summer weather, not your libido, as previously thought. Note to readers, avoid places like Miami, California, Texas, South Carolina, and just vacation in Alaska. Your marriage may be depending on it. Number five, global warming makes you fat. Worse than Bloomberg's Deep Gulp Crusade comes the article from the Huffington Post stating that the increase of CO2 in the atmosphere affects hormones in our brain known as orexin neurons, which stimulate eating. The research, according to HuffPo, is admittedly early and thin, not sure if pun was intended there, but decided to publish the article anyway. Of course they did. They can't help themselves, I think. But if you're not buying it, don't worry. They made sure to throw the Koch brothers in the mix just for good measure. Why not? Fact-checking is totally overrated after all. Number six, global warming caused the Malaysian flight MH370 to disappear. Now, when I first heard this one, I almost laughed myself out of my chair. Making their second appearance on this list, our dear friends at Mother Jones have made another outrageous claim. Of course, you remember when the Malaysian airplane disappeared into thin air. It's the story that reminded everyone that CNN still exists. They believe that the reason no one can locate the missing plane is because of, quote, climate-affected currents, unquote, also sometimes referred to as Koch brother currents. I don't know how I can get through this one. Number seven, global warming caused HIV and AIDS. As for being an adulterous fat guy, isn't enough for you to worry about, see numbers 4 and 5, I've got some bad news for you. According to a totally legit news source, and it didn't say which one it was, the environmental changes associated with global warming may increase the number of people affected by HIV and AIDS. In addition, those affected may see major changes in the intensity of the virus. Excuse me. Some of this is just hard to even, and just wait until you get to these last ones. Number eight, global warming causes cannibalism. Just seems legit. The guy who founded CNN said so. A few years ago, media tycoon Ted Turner and his mustache sat down for an interview with PBS's Charlie Rose to discuss his $1 billion donation to the United Nations and his thoughts on the environment. Ted the Mustache Turner seems to think that the increase in temperature across the globe will lead to mass famine and death like Somalia or Sudan. The mustache writer even goes farther to state that the ones who survive will be cannibals. Oh, my gosh. and I think about this kind of thing, and they talk about how the earth is warming up. And then I think back to this last winter. Boy, that winter was so warm, it wasn't hard to take at all, was it? Number nine. Wow. Global warming causes penguin sex. What happens when you combine a research when you combine a researcher studying the breeding patterns of penguins in the Antarctic with a group of penguins simply trying to get laid? You get the worst wingman in science history. According to an article on grist.org, climate change is affecting the mating patterns of three Antarctic species of penguins, causing them to change the time and location of their sex. Current reports only suggest a drop in the number of species by the year 2052. Oh, boy. And the 10th one. This one here is by far the most ludicrous of any of them. Number 10, global warming causes child pornography, or not child prostitution. And the article said, this just got real. A study done by the Thomson Reuters Foundation claims that climate change is a major factor in the rise of sexual violence and forced marriages amongst girls between the ages of 13 to 18 years old around the world. Doesn't this person know that in Islam that is normal? Oh, well, in places like Somalia, Ethiopia, and Bangladesh, girls are frequently becoming known as famine brides, where they are exchanged for money so the family can buy food. The article is a sobering read and a painful reminder of how sometimes evil prevails. But the political spin, forced comparisons of climate change and rape makes me wonder what the purpose of the message truly was. I hope that politics doesn't outweigh human life. But I'm beginning to wonder if it does. How much more insane do these liberals have to get before we wise up and kick them out of office and stop buying their newspapers? I don't know. America is still the freest country on earth, and those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedom away, and our constitutional expert, Matthew Opalitsky, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central Time for the Liberty and Constitution Community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Opalitsky, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America, always global warming. Oh, man, I swear, some of these things are just insane, complete insanity, to say the least. And I just don't understand the thinking of some of these people. The U.S. Postal Service has joined the fight against global warming by introducing a stamp depicting the projected warming of the world's oceans. The stamp series, called Global Sea Surface Temperatures, it features a single snapshot of how the world's oceans will warm as more greenhouse gases fill the atmosphere. Researchers take the data and create stamps that represent one day in the life of the virtual Earth. Well, I think that's all these people know, is a virtual Earth. The post office notes that the images on the stamps are not based on real-world observations, but modeled scenarios, and we all know these are wrong. The post office says the model isn't absorbing ongoing real-time truths from the Earth per se through a satellite or weather balloon like some might suspect. Rather, it's using general conditions such as the composition of land and water and how Earth revolves around the sun in tandem with the great laws of physics to mimic the climate's behavior. The post office continues, millions of grid boxes tell a story about what's happening in a particular space, interacting with each other in the dance of physics to tell a greater global narrative. The reason we need to do this is we can't perform re-election, the scientist with a geophysical fluid dynamics laboratory in New Jersey, which helped develop the images for the stamps. We don't have a twin planet Earth. The field of climate study is really moving toward trying to understand how climate change will impact weather on very regional and local scales. Dilworth noted that the consensus has been developing in the last 10 to 15 years that global warming was being driven primarily by human activity, mainly through the burning of fossil fuels. Ironically, during this time, global temperatures remain flat with no warming trend occurring in the last 17 years and 9 months. Oh, wow. What are they going to do if Earth doesn't cooperate with them? Meteorologist and climate blogger Anthony Watts also noted that the temperatures depicted on the stamps were misleading since they showed modeled forecasts and not current ocean temperature. You'd think they would use one that depicts reality, not a model projection, wrote Scott Watts. Our current SST image looks a lot different than the stamps. No reds, lots of blues, which shows our current reality to be cooler than the modeled ones. We will be right back.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
All right, clap. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah. We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ag Council.
Here at the GED Pep Talk Center, we've got a range of pep talkers standing by. Call 1-877-38-YOUR-GED or visit yourged.org and find free classes in your area. GED is a registered trademark of the American Council on Education, brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Confusion ever someone or have sudden...
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the five signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of a face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
Don't wait. Call 911 immediately.
Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
According to mainstream media, same-sex marriage is on the rise in America. A survey published earlier this year by the Public Religion Research Institute found a majority of Americans support the concept, and other polls show similar results. Even the chairman of the Republican Party, which is opposition to same-sex marriage in its official platform, tends to shy away from the subject. And the media is right. There is no denying that a strong majority of younger Americans believe same-sex marriage should be legal. As older, more conservative, and more religiously affiliated Americans die, support for same-sex marriage will continue to grow. But why has the opinion on same-sex marriage reversed itself so quickly since 2004, when numerous states passed amendments to state constitutions to prevent the practice with overwhelming majorities, or since 2008 when even California supported the state marriage amendment? I believe the answer lies at least partially in media bias and related language choice. Rather than having a majority in favor of changing what marriage means, most Americans are simply being bullied and cowed into submission. Consider, for example, the National Journal article on a young Republican group that is trying to change the GOP's platform on marriage. The article's headline declares the GOP's position on marriage as homophobic, and twice the article states that the GOP has anti-gay language in its platforms at the national and state levels. Terms like homophobic and bigot litter blogs, articles, op-eds, and television shows. Former Mozilla CEO Brendan Toomey, even though his only sin was to donate to Proposition 8 6 years ago. And Huffington Post has a whole page dedicated to the so-called homophobia of Duck Dynasty's Phil Robertson. Of course, they do. Another bias can be seen in the wordings of poll questions, which often inaccurately ask if people support same-sex marriage, as marriage between a man and a woman would be more accurate to ask if people support changing the definition of marriage. In asking this question, polling companies of all political stripes influence the way the public thinks of marriage and homosexual relationships. After seeing such language used throughout mainstream media, then parroted by politicians, who in his right mind would want to be labeled a bigot or a homophobe? An anti-gay must mean something awful, even if it is rarely defined. After all, most people just want to be married. Likewise, if you Google homophobia definition, this is what appears on Webster. Irrational fear of, aversion to, or discrimination against homosexuality or homosexuals. Yet Webster has this to say about phobia: usually inexplicable and illogical fear of a particular object, class of objects, or situation. In other words, phobia, which is the base of homophobia, is a fear. Yet homophobia has been expanded to include discrimination. Do so-called homophobics actually show a fear of homosexuals? Like, Aaron Robertson was accused of being homophobic. But in his infamous comments last year, he condemned sin of all kinds and expressed love and compassion for everyone. Yet because he failed to embrace the homosexual agenda, he was accused of being anti-gay, which translated into homophobia, whose definition should be a fear of homosexuals or same-sex attractions. This definition of homophobia ignores the real difference between having a fear of something and having a principled disagreement with it. Another windfall for pro-homosexual cause has been the courts' flouting of public opinion, in which a court substitutes its judgment for actual public opinion. Tyler Deaton, the campaign manager of the group National Journal, highlighted. Deaton says, one hardcore social conservative, they're losing control over the soul of America and over their own party. They're losing in the courts. They're losing in the states. They're losing at the federal level. They're losing in the court of public opinion, Deaton said. All they have left are these five angry sections in which the national party platform. Frankly, I don't want to be a hardcore or angry social conservative. I just want to be a normal one. But in which states has marriage been changed? Of the 19 that made it legal for homosexuals to marry each other, 11 have changed their laws because of the votes of the public or elected legislators. A further eight states have seen judges overturn state laws, but those decisions were stayed due to appeal. In other words, only 41% of the 27 states have seen their laws successfully overturned in any capacity due to the will of the people or their elected officials. Instead, a full 59% of the states have been given dictates by judges. So are social conservatives losing in the states, as Deaton says? Yes, but mostly unrelated to changes in public opinion, and often because of federal judges giving dictates to states. There is no doubt that homosexual agenda has gained tremendous ground in the last decade, but rather than have a discussion on the merits of the position or its proponents may have changed what language means, used Orwellian terms to demonize the opposition and convince the courts to overstep their bounds, which they do constantly anymore, it seems. And we just can't seem to understand that most of these things that we think are right and wrong come from the Bible. By the liberal left and the media in this country. And the both of those things in this country don't seem to even care what they're doing to America. They just care about what they can do to change the way we think. I think it gives them power. I think it makes them think that they're powerful. That's the only reason why I can see them doing what they do. And in that point, I guess I can understand it, even though it's stupid to call all of us homophobics when we're not afraid of gay people. Heck, some of my best friends that I grew up with were gay. That doesn't mean that I was scared of them, because I wasn't. I just didn't do anything sexual with them. That wasn't my way. And they didn't hold anything against me because I didn't want them. We were friends, and that was it. And the problem with most of that is that the two people that I'm talking about that were good friends of mine are both dead now. They both died of AIDS, and one of them, I think, was probably one of the first to get that disease because nobody knew what it was. He was getting sick, and nobody knew what it was. The doctors couldn't pick, and it eventually killed him. But that is neither here nor there. In this country, which is a Christian nation, no matter what Obama has to say about it, if you read the Bible, homosexuality is not something that's normal, no matter what the media tells us. And I don't fear anyone who wants to marry someone of their own sex. I just don't agree with it. But I don't fear them. Homophobia? I think that's just one of them words that the left uses to manipulate things to be the way they want them to be. And I have a funny feeling that even that is backfiring on them, more so than they would even think. We will be right back after these important messages. Just when you think you've heard everything, those leftists in D.C. pull something else. They're going to keep on doing it until we, the people, run them out of town on the rail. And that's what I've been saying this whole show, I think. But what about in the meantime? What are you going to do to protect your family, your property, and your sacred rights as an American when the left-wingers try to redistribute food and who knows what else in the name of social justice? Turn our world upside down. Get ready now. Make sure you can provide for your family in an emergency by going to the Patriot Depot, America's best-known warehouse for all your patriotic gear and survival needs. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. You'll find everything from emergency food supplies to the patriotic gear you'll need today and in the future. That's Patriot Depot at conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Okay.
Take to be the leader in production systems technology, to be the one company that solves production problems at any plant.
That one I have already done, so I'll go back to the one that I skipped. Here we go. Sorry about that.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. bonds. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Go, Caleb!
Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, pretty obvious.
Yeah, yeah.
So obvious. Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that. I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
What? Why? Just wait for the inheritance. We've definitely got a rich uncle somewhere. We're one call away from the winner's circle at the Derby, dinners with multiple forks, a vacation home in the country, using summer as a verb.
You don't actually think that, do you?
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs, the Delaware Society of CPAs, and the Ad Council.
ConservativeNationMedia.com. You're listening to the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, and I'm Robert Garding. Our call-in number is 718-305-7176. From Joe for America comes this disturbing bit about a teacher. Now, it didn't say where this teacher was, but I certainly hope this teacher's not in my area. Teacher Terry Grimes went too far, and she should have known better. She organized a year-end celebration and award ceremony at the high school where she teaches drama. The content of the program was so lewd it caused at least one student and parent to storm out in disgust, with the mother filing a formal complaint. Calls me it's the lack of forethought. It couldn't have been, as one student alleged, simply a matter of making an error in judgment in the moment. This was instead a case of preferring to apologize after the fact rather than yielding to good taste. Yielding to good taste would mean axing a skit where a priest has sex with children from the high school award ceremony playbill. Yielding to good taste, respecting the audience and honoring the occasion would mean recognizing students for real academic achievements. I'm sick of egregious offenses defended as a slip of the tongue or a lapse in judgment when applied to occasions requiring months or weeks of planning and rehearsal. Give me a break, Miss Grimes. You really think parents, peers, and guests attribute your lack of decorum to thinking badly on your feet for an event that involves rehearsing skits, purchasing prizes, and generally considering every detail of the entertainment? I don't think so. I mean, at some point when completing the purchase order for your prize package, didn't it occur to you, Ms. Grimes, that this was inappropriate, naughty novelty, 1995, comical perhaps, but inappropriate for the occasion? Didn't you wonder if Johnny's parents would be proud of his obtaining the Horniest Senior Award? So a most likely to pimp and best-dressed slut wouldn't surprise me. More details came from KOMO News. In an email to KOMO News, The upset mother complained about the teacher's use of profanity, including the F word, during the ceremony. She said Grimes reportedly used inappropriate words and told a distasteful joke. She said, I sat there with my mouth open in shock, and the final straw was when the joke was told by on stage about a teacher, a lawyer, and a priest on a plane. She said the plane was going down with the teacher, and says we have, and the teacher says we have to save the children. The attorney says, F the children. And the priest says, ooh, do we have time for that? The email reads, the parent who brought her young daughter to the ceremony decided to leave after hearing that joke. In addition to what she considered to be offensive language and off-color joke, the parent said the awards handed out during the ceremony weren't appropriate for children. She said one of the categories was for the horniest stud, where the award was a sex toy. This is school now, folks. This is what liberalism gets us. It goes on to say, we need to get the word out here that this is the kind of trash that is being taught in our schools, and I am so shocked. Right now I am in tears, the parents said in their email to KOMO. On Tuesday, Grimes addressed the issue in a written statement. She said, I deeply apologize for some very inappropriate comments and actions made during our drama students' end-of-the-year award ceremony. This is not representative of our students who take such great pride in their school and respect one another. Much of the evening was a celebration of their work. However, as a teacher and a club leader, I take full responsibility and am extremely sorry, the statement reads. The district says the school principal held a meeting with the drama students and Grimes that was very productive. A spokesperson says everybody involved expressed sincere apologies and regret. Neither Grimes nor the students faced any discipline. However, district officials are still evaluating the incident. The mother who brought the complaint says she's satisfied with how the district has dealt with the matter. She believes it will help ensure student award ceremonies will never go down that road again. I don't think so. She got away with it. There's no charges pending. Should be charges all over the place here. One could take Grimes' comment about deeply regretting some very inappropriate comments and actions as an inside joke that she regrets only some and not others. I think the only thing she regrets is that she was caught. Thank goodness this woman is retiring, but not before getting in her last hurrahs as maybe a dig at the straight-laced facility and school board. Good for the parent who walked out of the offensive program and chose not to go on camera and make a story about her own righteous indignation eclipsing her daughter's graduation festivities. Oh, and Mrs. Grimes' apology, not accepted. Take your smutty show to an adult venue and perform with seriously. I saw this story, and all I could think of was, I'm glad I don't live where this woman is. I've got children in school. If I found out something like this was going on in school where my children are, I'd raise hell and everybody in the nation would find out about it. This kind of thing is not appropriate for any school, no matter what they think their ideals are. Whether they're liberal or conservative, it doesn't matter. This kind of thing is inappropriate in school. And this lady should have all kinds of books thrown at her over this one. Because it's like the article started out to say, a program like this takes weeks, if not months, to plan and put together and rehearse. They knew what was coming. They knew what was going on. This lady knew what was coming. This lady knew what was going on. And no apology in the world would make that better unless she quit in shame after the fact. That's like Hatch in the chat room said. Those liberals paid for their retirement for the rest of her life, as well as her health care needs. She doesn't have anything to worry about, even if she did get fired. one of the things that's wrong with this country. Conservatives will get castigated and thrown out for the littlest things, and liberal Democrats will finish out their lives where they're at, whether they killed a woman like Ted Kennedy did in 68, something against the United States for which they should be tried for treason. Doesn't matter either way. They stay where they're at and nothing happens to them. They exempt themselves from their miserable policies, like Lady Michelle said. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design, Sunday evening to 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, right after the Michael Berryman show on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media, since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. The story of Bo Bergdahl is one story of, is also the story of the six soldiers killed seeking a man who may have intentionally walked into the arms of the Taliban. Murphy, whose brother, Staff Sergeant Michael Murphy, was killed on a mission, reports to have linked to Bergdahl's search, tells Breitbart News the swap was ridiculous. In an exclusive interview with Breitbart News, Murphy expresses anger over the Obama administration's decision to release five high-ranking Taliban officials to free Bergdahl. She said, "I felt a little angry about the whole exchange," she explained. I do feel like eventually at some point Bergdahl should have come home, but the trade they made for him was far-fetched, especially for a guy that just walked off and deserted his unit. Murphy, whose husband was also serving in the military, told Breitbart News that her objections were not family, but to the administration officials handling the situation. "We are praying for the families whose loved ones were involved," she said for herself and her family, adding, "Our family does not blame Bergdahl for my brother's death. That was my brother's job, and he loved it. Even if it was a mission about Bergdahl, my brother would have fulfilled it." Nevertheless, Murphy notes that the fanfare surrounding Bergdahl's return is not fair to those who gave all in the battle and received much less praise. "My brother didn't get that recognition when he lost his life for our country, and Bergdahl does, and that's just not fair. It's not fair that Obama took his parents to the Rose Garden and we only got a stamped name on a letter from Obama, considering my brother was a real hero." The trait similarly diminishes sacrifices that those who served and died made, both to rescue Bergdahl and to capture the five Taliban terrorists that will now roam the world freely after a year of probation in Qatar. "I think it's a slap in the face," she says of the trade. "It doesn't make any sense to me. We still have troops over there. What about all the people that were hurt or died trying to capture those five guys?" Murphy is not sure whether the mission was related to Bergdahl, she says, because "we weren't told anything about the mission. There were a lot of rumors about how he died." She notes, "I've heard rumors that it was a humanitarian mission, and I've also heard that if Bergdahl didn't walk off the camp, that missions wouldn't have been pushed out so far and the helicopter would have gotten to my brother quicker, which ultimately would have been beneficial to my brother's life." Six soldiers died in circumstances believed to have been triggered by Bergdahl's disappearance. Many more died trying to find and capture the five Taliban officials now set free in exchange for Bergdahl. As the fallout from Bergdahl's release continues, the White House's dedication to those of unquestioned loyalty lost in the theater of war will remain at the core of the conversation. We will be right back to the final segment of the show after these messages.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Mm-hmm. A boy born in Joplin, Missouri, was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hey, sweetie. What's going on?
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay. What?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do you start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You've got to try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
And finally, we here at New Wise Conservatism Radio Show want to leave you with our weekly tip of the day. It seems to me the more we allow our government officials to do what they shouldn't, the more they will do it without thinking anymore as to whether what they are doing is legal or not. Case in point, this prisoner trade, as Obama calls it, was wrong from the get-go. First off, it was not a prisoner trade. It was a bad move that will only spell doom for any American soldier out there in the field who doesn't keep his whole attention on what is going on around him. We are now going to have our soldiers captured just to make sure that Al-Qaeda and Islam has bargaining chips to work with when it comes to getting their guys released from Guantanamo or wherever we may be holding them. Mark my words, this is going to happen because the terrorists are not stupid. If they were, then they would have been beaten into submission years ago. President Obama right now is nothing more than a treasonous traitor who has let the enemy know that he is on their side, not ours. And for the person in this position, that is not good for America. That is how he wants it, isn't it, folks? After all, according to Obama, we are the infidels, and the terrorists are the ones that Obama wants to coddle to and make sure that they get what they want. This is an impeachable offense, to say the least. And I will tell you all, if this was George W. Bush, impeachment of him would have happened years ago. This is not conjecture, folks. This is fact. George Bush was being taunted and chided for things that were not nearly as bad as what Obama has gotten away with. And still, the guns of wrongdoing all over Washington, D.C. are completely silent when it comes to the illegal things that Obama has been doing, and he does them daily. He told us that he wants to leave no American behind when it comes to Bergdahl, yet he is allowing a U.S. Marine to sit in a Mexican prison for making a wrong turn at the border. Total and absolute silence from Obama on this one. So to me, that tells me that he lied to us about his reasons for releasing the 5 high-level terrorists to get Bergdahl and the deserter back. And then the slap in the face to the American people when the father of Bergdahl gave a thank you speech and started it in Arabic. For the love of Jesus here, folks, what are we doing? Have we decided that we don't care for this country anymore and that we are going to allow our traitorous politicians in Washington, D.C. do whatever they damn well please when it comes to this, the security, or better word for that, the non-security of this nation and her people? I am sick and tired of sitting back and watching the morons in Washington do what they are doing to this nation and then seeing that they keep getting reelected to office. Harry Reid ran against a Tea Party conservative this last race that he was in, and Harry Reid won. Why was that possible? Did he cheat to win? Probably. But our main problem lies in the Republican Party and the ones that have been there so long that they swing from side to side as their whims declare they must. They care nothing for the wishes of the American people either, nor do they care what is happening to our great nation. They need to be replaced as soon as possible, too, period. So why isn't this happening? I'll try to tell you. The American people have such short memories that all the liberal has to do to get out from under the burdens of their actions is to start moving to the right before elections. They do that, and no amount of telling what people stand for helps, because the American people forget the atrocities and think warm and fuzzy thoughts about them in the next election to reelect them. That's what Bill Clinton did. He swung to the right in his second election to win. As long as the American people don't vet their candidates and find out just what they stand for, we will always be in the mess we are in today until this country ceases to be the beacon of freedom that it has always been. When a politician talks of America and her democracy, I cringe, because we are not a democracy, never have been, though I think the politicians are moving us straight from the constitutional republic that we are, straight into socialized communism. Sad part of this is history has proven time and time again that socialism nor communism never works, never has and never will. Time we realized this and started focusing on America's future and the future of our children. Right now, as things are going, they don't have a very bright future, because their future is heading into a dark cave to which there is no return. It is up to us to stop that descent into hell this country has been put on by Obama and the politicians in Washington who have decided that the Constitution isn't the law of the land. Do I hear an amen here to that? It is up to the American people to stop this trend. Only we can right this great ship. If we don't, our children do not have much of a future in store for them. And to me, that is sad. I have all kinds of problems understanding living in this great country. Why we can't take a little time out from our lives and vet these people who are running to be our representatives in Washington. I would say a good 60 to 75% of them don't represent us and don't care to. And it's like Flycatch in the chat room said, why do you think they purchased all that ammunition? That's something else the American people have seemed to just kind of forgotten. Didn't you hear all this stuff about it a while back about how the government has bought up and hoarded big stacks of big stocks of hollow point bullets? Why do they need these things? I'll tell you why. Because they know the American people sooner or later are going to wake up to the treasonous aspects of what our government is doing, and we're going to do something about it. Part about it is the government will be ready for us with all those hollow points that they have bought. And that was my thought of the week. And I'm glad that everybody showed up for this show. I actually had a lot of fun with this one. It's, when I talk about global warming or terrorists or D-Day and Reagan, it's makes it a much more fun show to me, because these are things that I really, really like. So usually when I do a show about with all those subjects in them, or even just one of those subjects in them, I usually feel I have a pretty good show. So I'm glad that everybody was here today, and we'll be back in next week. Our lineup of shows on CNM now has some great ones, where we start a week on Sundays with Michael Berryman's show, which is The Old Soldier of Patriotism, airing 4 to 6 p.m. on Sundays. That's tomorrow. And American by Design with Ding Fisher, also on Sundays from 6 to 8. So from 4 to 8, you have two conservative nation media shows that are really good ones. On Tuesday, we have Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. On Wednesdays, we have The Real Radio Free America with Duke Brooks from 8 to 10 p.m. And I say The Real Radio Free America because there is another one out here on Log Talk Radio. And it's not Duke's show. On Thursday, we have the Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Opalisky from 8 to 10. And, of course, on Saturdays, you have yours truly, the infidel behind the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world. All this on conservativenationmedia.com. And we're having more and more fun doing this because the liberals just can't seem to stop giving us stuff to talk about. And it makes things so much more interesting. I do not accept the world as I see it, but as God meant it to be. I am determined to help return us to the recipe that made America great, and I choose not to sit on my couch and complain as I watch things happen. We are at a crossroads in restoring our constitutional republic, and that's what it is. The left does not anger me. I will not give them that kind of power over me. They only bug me. We must take responsibility for our freedom. We must secure liberty by changing reality and promoting our attitudes and beliefs and getting good at that. The Democrats already are. We must rid ourselves of self-defeating attitudes and behaviors and replace them with constructive ones. We must actively change culture, for that is where the liberals have it over us. For now, I know this can be done. Until next week, God bless us all. Well, that don't sound like what I wanted to have, so I hope everybody has a good day and a good rest of the weekend, and God bless you, and I'll talk to you later.